the light, the treasure that satisfies, that truly satisfies. And we're talking about these things. And you are with us. And this is the Grace Hour Show podcast from Baltimore. And today, I'm Pastor Steve Androlonis, one of the pastors here at Greater Grace Church, where the show originates. And with me, Pastor Ronaldo Brown, for the second day in a row, we're talking about delighting. Yesterday, we talked about the delight of being in the presence of God and enjoying His character, the character of the name that is above all names. So we broke that down pretty nicely for you. You can look at it in the archive somewhere. But also, today, we're going to expand on that delight and give you something, you know, really substantive. Not that yesterday wasn't substantive, but today we're diving into the Word and wisdom, which is really the baseline for all things. Foundation of the Word, if we know the truth, we shall be set free. Yep. All those things that we could say, let us look at these things and believe on what God has said to us. Pastor Ronaldo, yes, open sir. Us up with a thought or four.
I would say we approach our life with God as a relationship. And so far in this week, we've been kind of seeing this progression in the relationship. I would call it delighting, really. Because to be honest with you, when we first meet God, we don't have an intense longing for Him. We have an intense possible curiosity. I would say more curiosity than desire. I think God cultivates delight, desire. He cultivates delight in our life through relationship progressively, and you can almost see this ladder of delight that God is creating capacity for. Because the first thing we said yesterday was presence. Okay, God walks in my life, and with presence, just His presence, He starts to cultivate delight in my heart for Him. Desire in my heart for Him, longing in my heart for Him, because His presence is very unique.
Yeah.
The presence of God. There's some people, if you notice when you get around them, their presence in your life is very, very unique. You know when they're there and you value it, or even maybe in a bad way, their presence is troubling or intimidating, but the presence speaks. So God comes in our life first with presence, and then He comes and in His presence, He reveals His character. It's like any other relationship. When you're in someone's presence, you begin to observe some things about their character.
Yes.
And it helps you connect with that person. And it might even make that person desirable or undesirable, but the character speaks. And then we land into today as we walk up this ladder of delight. Then it's the words that they speak that have power and influence. And we begin to understand who they are a little bit beyond their character and the words that they speak. And then the first thing we kind of measure in their words is wisdom.
Yeah.
We're looking for profitable words, or there might not be any. But so God is kind of unfolding Himself to us relationally. And as He does, we learn how to delight in Him progressively. We learn how to delight in Him in His presence, we said yesterday. In His character, we said yesterday. And today we're saying as we walk down that relationship, we learn how to delight in His word. And that will lead us to delighting in His wisdom. But the challenge is going to be that am I delighting in His word and it as a duty, or is I'm doing that in a devotional way? Because relationally, sometimes we do things even in relationships by duty.
Yeah.
And I want to say this, many things we've done in our life began that way. Okay. So maybe your delighting in the word of God might begin with the duty to the word of God. Okay. 2 Timothy 2:15, 2 Timothy 3:16, Hebrews 4:12. Okay. And the verse I was thinking about this morning, Psalm 1 verses 1 and 2, it says, He delights, the blessed man delights in the law of the Lord. Maybe yours doesn't begin with delight. Maybe it begins with duty.
Yeah.
But relationally, it should mature. In 2 Peter 3:18, as I grow in grace and I continue to walk in the Spirit, it should grow into delighting.
Yeah.
If you're still sitting at, and what takes me, here's, I'll just end with this thought. What takes me from duty to delighting is communion.
That's it.
That's the key.
That's
right.
Great.
There. Because I'm not going to get there.
Yeah. Now I'm thinking, when you look, we notice in the book of Acts, we see the power of the Spirit at work. Mm-hmm. And we see Peter preaching the word, and the word does something. It cuts people to the heart. Mm. And then there is acts of devotion. Mm. They haven't even got the point of duty yet.
Right.
All they've gotten is like, this is what I'm saying. Free yourself from this untoward generation. And how do you do that? By calling upon the name of the Lord. Mm. And then Peter says, you know, the duty comes next, which is baptize them. And then we see that. I think of it like a marriage. Like when you are devoted to your fiance, there's already a devotion that's happening. Mm-hmm. But then there comes the moment of justice. Mm. And that's you're before witnesses, you're before an official, you sign a paper. You know, it's funny, isn't it called the justice of the peace?
That's
like,
right.
Okay, you know, you are really in love with each other. And this document, this ceremony, this celebration is a moment of justice and peace that reconciles you together. Mm. And, you know, till death do you part is the way it's usually proclaimed, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, you have the devotion first. Mm-hmm. And I think that if we live in duty, we could really be dead and dry all the way to the grave and beneath it. Sorry to say, like you mentioned yesterday, I think you mentioned A.W. Tozer yesterday. Maybe you didn't, but I thought of him as you were saying something about the word being not devoted to the word, but just being principles for duty.
Yeah.
And like A.W. Tozer, I can't get this phrase out of my mind. He's talking about the word dying in the hands of its friends. Mm-hmm. Like someone can be so dutified to the word that he doesn't really exalt it as what it could do. So if Peter lives in just duty, but not having the power of the Spirit, nothing that he says cuts to anybody's heart. But when the word of God is made quick and powerful by the Spirit, then there's effectual working in people's lives.
Yeah, I like the way that we've laid out the program this week. Yeah. If you attempt Tuesday's thoughts without Monday's thoughts, all you have is a mechanical duty. If we had begun this week with delighting in the word and wisdom, but we didn't begin with the premise of the Spirit. If we didn't begin there, today is dysfunctional, today is religious, today is mechanical, today is dutiful, today is hard to accomplish, and we have no capacity for it.
Yeah.
But we have the leading of the Spirit and the capacity of the character of God, which makes today possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Makes today possible. Like, okay, so when I'm listening to the program, I want to delight in the Word and delight in His wisdom. And that's a higher level of maturity, because when I delight in the Word, the wisdom that God is revealing to me is rhema in the moment. It's very specific. It might be very connected to a circumstance. It's always based upon my capacity, my ability to respond to God in faith, in the Spirit. But a lot of folks in this day and age have not fallen in love with their Bible.
Yeah.
They don't delight in the Word. So they want wisdom. They want to delight in the wisdom of God without first learning how to delight in the Word of God.
Yeah.
So there is a measure of discipline. I want to use that word.
Yeah.
When you read verses like 2 Timothy 2:15 we mentioned earlier, you read Psalm 1:2 and 3, you read Joshua 1:8, there is a measure of discipline in the Word of God, that I've got to be in the Word of God. That means meditation. Mm. Not in a mechanical way, but I'm talking about in a contemplative way, to think about Scripture. It's amazing the things we think about. You sit down and think about the weather, the news, sports, outfits, things that drift through your mind like an abandoned building. You're just kind of like, oh, I wonder what color of green that is. And then your mind goes down a rabbit hole for half an hour. Or that reminds me of a song. Your brain just drifts, right?
It does. Ricochets.
Yeah, it bounces off random thoughts. Like, he's driving was that a 1980 T-Bird? Mm. Wait a minute. Granddad drew that. Next thing you know, you're just gone. But active meditation, it speaks about being intentional about the Bible. There's a lot of programs that can help you with that. Mm. Bible in a year, listen to the Bible, but being intentional. Romans 10:17, being intentional about the Word of God. Being intentional in the sense that I want to think about it.
Mm.
Not just mere reading, but I want to think about it. And that's where meditation begins. A meditation looks like this. You know when you're walking somewhere, something's on your mind. And it may or may not be related to where you're going, but you're walking somewhere and you find yourself like half mumbling, like, I got to call her. He's not going to answer the phone. You're meditating on it. You're ruminating. Yeah. It's got your attention. Even though it doesn't have your feet, it's got your attention in your front of your brain. You're like, call that guy. Make sure. Is he going to even be home? You're meditating on it. That's meditation.
Yeah.
Sometimes we have this idea of like, you know,
Well, that's the...
Yeah. Transcendental. You're going way too far. Like
you're getting too way too empty.
Well, most people that when they think meditation, they run to the extreme. Like, okay, I'm going to sit at home, my open Bible, which is nothing wrong with that. I'm going to take a verse. I'm going to fight and this cone of silence. It can be that, but for most of us, half the things you meditate on, they're conversational with you and yourself. And you're kind of you're in your car, you're thinking like, okay, what do I need for the groceries? What do I got to buy again? I've got to get the, okay, we need that. You're meditating.
Mm-hmm.
It's these self conversations. That's really what it is.
Yeah.
So what it says in Psalm 1:1-2, when it talks about he delights in the law, I have these self conversations with myself and with God about his word. Like, okay, God said that he'll never leave me nor forsake me. Okay, so then I don't fear what men can do to me. Okay, all right, so what does he mean when he says that? That's meditation.
Yeah.
Right? And so this is how you begin to delight in the word of God. You have to first begin to think about the word of God.
Yeah, I was reading a devotional from Amy Carmichael this morning, and, you know, she said that, you know, that... you fellowship with these teachable points, the promise of consolation in the midst of turbulence. And, you know, she makes a point. I mean, this is a woman that at some point was bedridden for several, maybe a decade or more. And, you know, she sat in her room, like you said, with a bunch of scriptures pasted on the wall. And she, you know, some days, you know, she had to like really practice to enter into a meditation that was fruitful. And she's good in this book that I can't remember which one it is. She's had several devotionals. I got a couple of them, but this one I like. I think it's The Edges of His Ways is the one that I'm looking at right now. And, you know, really what she has to say about like the Word of God opening our eyes to something. Like, and really, it's like, you know, what we're saying, duty and devotion, you know, devotion could make you an airhead, you know, only devotion, and only duty could make you a blockhead, you know, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, you're just like, you're so stiff and then you're so, ethereal, but we're talking about like, you know, like the foundation. Like I was reading this morning, a little bit about the construction of the tabernacle, and I'm always amazed at the detail that God gave Moses about silver bases for the boards that made the frames, and then the bronze tent pegs. It's we don't think of those things as very important, but like the silver bases, the redemptive foundation of the Word of God, and the bronze pins that are like point to the justice of God and the sacrifice of the cross. Nothing holds together without those foundational elements. So there are, like you said, practices that lead to a real deep and abiding fellowship with the Word of God. But sometimes we have to have a principle of diligence that the Proverbs gives us, like opening the Word of God, presenting ourselves to the pages, and then allowing what's on the pages to penetrate us. And we're not experts at it.
No,
and we've all struggled. The two of us could say that we've really struggled at times. Like, is there anything real happening here as I'm reading the Word of God? But you know, don't divorce duty. And don't divorce delight. Mm-hmm. Put them together and let the devotional life be something that the Spirit guides you in.
Yeah, that's that mystical balance where you're Martha and you're Mary, you're blended.
There you go. You know? Yeah, that's a good one.
You're blended. Yeah. Like case in point, there's going to be times when it's going to feel mechanical, because probably it is. Like, yeah. Okay, God, I don't have a lot of desire today to be in your word, but I know this. There's something in it for me. Mm. There's something I'm going to delight in, the potential of what you can do in my life through your word, rather than my own conviction or my own belief in the moment that you can do it. Like, okay. So it's like, is this active meditation is the first step in delighting in the word, because it creates a capacity to connect and commune with it, which also develops a love for it.
Yeah.
I learn to love the word of God. I have to learn what to love and learn what to hate. And you're not born, you're not even born again with a desire to love the word of God. That has to be taught, spirit taught. And the first thing, besides the spirit teaches me what not to like, he teaches me how to love the things of God. Because if I learn to love the word of God by delighting in the word of God, then I will love to obey it.
Mm.
What your obedience follows your love.
Yeah.
What you tend to love, you are very obedient towards, air quotes, submissive to, submitted to. Right.
Yeah.
So if I have an active obedience, I could actually have a joyful obedience. If I have an active meditation, I could have a joyful obedience. I could.
Yeah.
But many of us, we jump the meditation part and run straight to obedience with neither capacity nor desire.
Yeah.
But what did Paul say from prison in Philippians 2? It is God both to will and to do.
Yeah.
To his good pleasure, which means this, it may not be mine.
Yeah.
Right? It might not be mine, but God says, if you delight in me and you delight in my spirit and you delight in my character, I will teach you how to delight in my word, and you will find that this can be a joyful thing in your life. I did find that word and I ate it, and it was a rejoicing to my soul in Jeremiah 15, 16. You can grow. Maybe Jeremiah didn't start out like that. If you read Jeremiah 1 and Jeremiah 2, you don't get the idea that he's delighting in the word.
No.
But when you get to chapter 15, he says, it was a rejoicing to my soul. I did find thy word. He didn't say he had it. He says he found it. It was a discovery. How did he discover that? Through revelation and meditation, he began to delight in the word of God. And suddenly, mostly between chapters 2 and 15, against his personal will, he was obedient.
Yeah.
And then you end up in chapter 15, I delight in it. I have a delight. And it starts to be that nourishment for me. So you can literally see yourself in obeying the word of God that you're delighting in, that it becomes like food for you, necessary food. And when you get that idea also when you read Psalm 119, that the writer there, or writers, depending on who you read.
Yeah, that's true.
The writer or the writers in Psalm 119, you get this idea that they are going through a lot. As a consistent,
it is a bad time.
Historical time, unimaginable personal and physical suffering. But what does he keep delighting in? He doesn't delight in his pain. He doesn't delight in his circumstances. He doesn't even delight in his present time. He just delights in the word, your word, right? I delight myself in Psalm 119, verse 16, in your statutes, and I will not forget your word. He says in verse 103 of Psalm 119, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Meanwhile, he's suffering, right? So verse 47, he says, my passion and delight is in your word, for I love what you say to me. I love what you say to me. It's
That's
so
amazing.
Good. Do you love what God says to you? Well, if you delight in who God is, you can find him in what he says. But if you don't know who God is, you won't value what he says. So if Tuesday's program doesn't work, if there isn't a Monday grace hour.
That's right.
If God is building this ladder of relationship, this ladder of communion that begins with his presence, that begins with his character, that begins with his spirit, all by faith, where I land in his thinking, in his word, where I land and live in his wisdom. And all of a sudden, now it becomes joy. The words he speaks are joy. You know, like it becomes this dependence on God and actually deriving pleasure from it. But you don't just get there.
Yeah.
You have to build to that.
Yeah.
And God is progressive. All revelation is progressive. So God is he's progressively leading us. You could say breadcrumbing us. He's kind of breadcrumbing us down this path of faith, saying, okay, first of all, it's me.
Yeah.
It's me. In my presence, it's me. Let me teach you how to find joy in just me. Then let me lead you into finding joy in the, how I am, my character. Wow. So it's not just you, but your specific way with me. Yes, I am. And I'm going to continue to be that way. And now, not only am I that way, listen to what I have to say, because what I have to say is supported by who I am. The words I speak in Grace Hour Tuesday are based upon the character that I revealed in Grace Hour Monday.
That's amazing. You know, you're going through Psalm 119. And I would say that if you, that is a good place to start. If you want to, if you want to develop your, what is it? Your way with the word, your engagement with the word, because it begins really with Grace Hour Monday. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. And how do you get undefiled? You get undefiled by coming under the blood of Jesus. And then you can walk in the law of the Lord. It gives you a bunch of things, but I like what it gets into the second stanza, beginning with verse 9. How do you cleanse your way? Because that's a big question. Taking heed to the word.
There it is.
How do you keep yourself from sinning? You hide the word of God in your heart. By verse 10, you've already got like sort of a an action plan, but if you keep going on, you're right. He talks about affliction. And then we get, when we get really close to the end, great peace have they that love thy law. This is one 165. There's 176 verses. You don't get the great peace until you've worked through 164 verses.
And like,
I think
that,
that's realistic, I think, you know, because you, you know, you, you know, you give yourself to the duty of learning the word. You learn the devotion. You've already had a devotional life in giving your heart to Christ. And now you learn the equipment, the statutes, the precepts, the commandments. All of these things lead to a love for the word of God that gives you great peace and all. Nothing shall offend you. How can I get there? Well, go back to verse one. You know, I think like the word is very progressive in the way that it, you, like you said, like we talked about being in the presence of God and having his presence in us and living in us. And then now we're talking about the tools that God has given us. You know, the seed of the word, making sure the soil of our hearts is prepared, as Jesus said in that parable. And then bearing good fruit. And so this is all it's all connected. We're going to make it connect. At least our two shows are connected, Pastor Ronaldo.
Amen for that. But in Psalm 1, verse 2, isn't that, we just landed right back there. The man who, or the woman who is blessed, when they delight in the word, what happens? They're fruitful. It's like you got this door frame of God's mind in the beginning of the entire Psalms, and it's Psalm 1. And what does he say? If you delight in my word, if you delight in my word, you'll be fruitful. You'll be fruitful. It's interesting. It says, it doesn't say you won't suffer, but it says you'll be fruitful. Whether you suffer or not is inconsequential to the blessed man, because the blessed woman and the blessed man, they don't measure their life by when they suffer and when they don't. But their life is measured by their in who they delight. And if I delight in God, in his word, I will find, I'll be like a tree planted by the water. There'll be a fruitfulness about my life. So then the word of God, going back to our theme for the week, the word of God becomes a treasure to me. It goes back to the verse you just mentioned. Thy word have I hid in my heart. The things you hide in your heart, the things you hide that are of value, are treasures to you. And the psalmist in the beginning of the psalm said, I'm going to hide the word. I'm going to love the word. I'm going to delight in the word. I'm going to obey the word. I'm going to cling to the word. He says it right. My soul clings to the dust. Revive me to the in your word. And we need that, because my thinking is wrong. My thinking is always wrong. God's thinking is always right. And every moment and every day, God is resurrecting his thinking above my thinking, because my thoughts and his thoughts aren't even closely related. And God's like, yeah, you're rational, but you're not spiritual. You know, you're instructional, or you're practical, but you're not spiritual. The only way you're spiritual is when you think with me, delight in my word, and you'll find that my thoughts are delightful. You'll find, you'll learn that. We have to learn that. Because practically speaking, we don't think the word of God is delightful.
You start
getting convicted by the word, starts dividing the natural from the spiritual. You say, wait a minute, this surgical maneuver that the spirit is using the word does not feel very delightful. Conviction doesn't feel delightful unless I can elevate my thinking to God's thinking and see the value of the conviction, the value of the correction, the value of the thinking his thoughts and not my thoughts, right? Learning the value of the mind of God. One of the greatest gifts in our life is we have access to God's mind. We know more about God's mind than we know about people's mind, but it's so interesting how much we mind people's minds. What is this person thinking about me? What does this person think? And we live our life based on the thoughts and opinions of others, which we don't even know.
Yeah.
Like that person doesn't like me. You don't even know how they think. So you're moved emotionally by thoughts that you can't control or unaware of. And God says, how about you stick to the thoughts that are presented to you? How about living in the present revelation? Okay, they're thinking that. You don't know that, but here's what I'm thinking. That's why God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my thoughts are not like a man's thoughts. So in the present revelation of what I'm thinking, you'll find security. But you're not going to find security in someone else's thoughts.
No.
Yeah. Two, scary version, you won't find real security in your own thoughts.
No. You've got to have something outside of yourself.
What are the seven rules for truth? What is one of them? The truth has to exist outside of me.
Yeah.
I can't control it. I can't manipulate it. It's just true.
Yeah.
One of the seven tests for truth. Okay, so God's mind stands outside of me, yet it influences me. It affects me. It can guide me. So God says, let me teach you how to delight in the one thoughts that don't change about you. The one thought that's about me that concerns you. The one thought that has the power to change your life. My thoughts. And we have to learn. We learn that. That's not through osmosis. That's not it. Spiritually and organically, it can happen, but it's not something that just happens without us our participation.
Yeah.
It happens with our participation. And how do we participate? We participate by faith.
Yeah.
And there are times when the diligence of the Word of God becomes what? It comes dutiful.
Yeah.
It can be that way. But duty is not our identity, but it's part of our opportunity. I want to say it that way. Part of our spiritual opportunity at times is dutiful.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe we give, we sing, whatever. Okay.
What our hand finds to do, we do with all our might.
That's it. And be careful of my motivation. Like, I'm not in the mood. You can get really moody about the duties of God. Like, I don't feel like doing it. God's like, well, it's not about how you feel, because I don't respond to you on that basis. I don't lead you in that basis. But that's important to know. Delighting in the Word. How do I do that? Okay, I get in the Word.
Yeah.
God invites me in. God says, my thoughts, come to know my thoughts. I know the thoughts I think in Jeremiah 20. Do you know my thoughts, right? Imagine for a moment how much Adam may have wondered about what God was thinking. Adam did not have a lot of words from God. He didn't have a whole lot of instruction, didn't have a lot of words. So he didn't know a lot about how God thinks, right? But he had presence and he had character. And then God graduated him into words. And we have so much access to the Word of God. We have much more access than the patriarchs. We have much more access than even the apostles, for that matter, on certain levels. We have a lot more access to Word. But how much do we live in? How much do we delight in?
That's true.
How much do we know?
That's great. Yeah. I think the personality that, you know, is the one who's with us, the one who saved us. Mm-hmm. I think that's the thing that we understand. The more we understand that Jesus practiced what he preached in person. Okay. So the way that I'm drawing this line is like, yes, John 1, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, but the flesh of the person who is the Son of Man, lived by every word of God, and he fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law. And so we have an intercessor and an advocate who doesn't just give us instructions to be our duty. Mm-hmm. He was devoted to living out those instructions in the power of the Spirit. And so we don't have a Savior who has not been touched with the challenges of our infirmities. Now, can we bring ourselves to see we want bread, we want bread, we want bread, and we know that Jesus lived in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights without bread and then said, I'm living by the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Jesus knows that, and Jesus is interceding for us, and Jesus is our advocate. So we don't have a savior who doesn't understand what we need to be saved from.
Amen.
And that is the, you know, the more you read the word of God, I think that's to delight in it and to be taken into the way of wisdom, which mm-hmm. is acting, which I think you would agree is like living out the principles of the word.
Yes.
We know the principles, but the practices and the decisions and the discernment come from living out the word. Jesus lived it all out. Mm-hmm. He was the word made flesh, but in his flesh, he practiced the word that he was and embodied. So, you know, to think that Jesus doesn't understand what we feel mm-hmm. is to not really understand what the word says about how much he lived underneath our clouds, our sun, and in our cosmic atmosphere. Mm. So,
yeah, I like what you said there about the living out. And when you read Psalm 119, every verse but one addresses the word of God.
That's
on
right.
some level.
Yep, everyone,
you get this one. Idea. He's walking in wisdom. I don't read a man who's delighting in the word because it's more than just the word. He's in a situation where he has to have the word of God applied
yeah.
on so many levels, mm. emotionally, physically, circumstantially, geographically. He's having the word of God in 4D. He's 5G. He's applying the yeah. word of God. So
true. Yeah.
So Psalm 119 is more than just delighting in the word. By your expression, it's being worked out. It's wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wisdom application that is happening. He or they that are going through these things, the word of God has become life to them. It's become power to them. It's become food for them. It's become medicine for them. It's become a counselor for them. It's become an encouragement to them. And I think that's what God wants for all of us,
mm-hmm.
that his word would be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, and that his word, the entrance of his word, would give us light and understanding,
yeah.
that his word would give us a baseline to hold on to, that his word could be something that our faith could connect with, the very mind of God, that our faith would connect with that. And that's the value of being in my Bible. That's the value of learning how to delight in the word of God, because as I delight in the word of God, the Spirit will lead me to delight in the wisdom of God. And wisdom is kind of like an afterword. It's interesting. You don't know what wisdom is until afterwards. You're like, oh, that was wise. But it doesn't look like wisdom. And many of the times you read the word of God, you're delighting in the word and you don't see the wisdom before. You might see the knowledge before, and you might see the wisdom later, right?
Yeah.
In Matthew 11:19, Jesus said, wisdom is justified of her children. Yet in Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. So it's like, okay, it's important to get it, but often I don't know I'm getting it until later.
Yeah, right? Really? Well, I mean that, you know, wisdom justified. Children happen over a period of time.
Yeah.
They're conceived, mm-hmm. but the conception is only the beginning. You know,
yes.
The thing is, like, you conceive a promise of God. Mm-hmm. Wisdom begins with a recognition of who God is and his mm-hmm. presence. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Mm-hmm. So we have to have a sense of awe for who he is.
Yes.
And then, you know, something is, you know, like I said, conceived in our heart, and it gives birth to something later on. So I guess to say to some people just starting out in their meditation and everything, like you're just beginning. It's yeah. like don't beat up yourself. Give yourself lots of grace and, you know, just keep looking at the word. Let the word fill your thoughts. Think upon it, and it will transform itself into wise ways.
Yes. Just hearing it. Be a hearer of the word, Romans 10:17. Be a reader of the word. I want to say 1 Timothy 4:13. Be a reader of the word. Be a speaker of the word. You want to think about it. Psalm 1 verses 1 and 2. Meditate on the word. And when you speak to the Holy Spirit, and we should, mm-hmm. ask him to apply the word. That's interesting. How often do you ask the Holy Spirit to apply the word you've read, you've heard, or you've studied?
Mm-hmm.
We always assume, by the way, if you don't ask the Holy Spirit to do that, then you take on the responsibility that you have to do that. So that's what you have a lot of folks who take the word of God and try to apply it without the Holy Spirit. But that's actually a faith request of the Holy Spirit. Okay, I just heard a message on this. I just read a verse on this. I've been thinking about this. Holy Spirit, apply this in my life.
Mm.
The application of the word of God is by the power of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. The delighting in the word, lead me in delighting. Lead me in delighting. I want to delight in the word of God, not because I see personal value, but because God has unpacked it to me that is beyond my own personal assessment. Because it is based on personal value, there's some verses I might say is not valuable.
Yeah,
I might read the genealogies and say, I don't see value.
I don't see anything. What's the purpose of that?
So you become a private detective and you have a private interpretation of the word of God. But then the Holy Spirit says, wait a minute. That's important. Teach me, Holy Spirit, why that's important. You read Leviticus. Why is it important? I'm not Jewish. There's a lot of ceremonial things. Well, it's the only book in the book in the Bible that God speaks directly to man the most. In the entire book. There's no other book where God speaks directly to man more than Leviticus. So there's a lot in Leviticus that I could get into because I could delight in it.
Yeah.
Because I let God lead me in my delighting.
Yeah, it's so specific. Mm-hmm. I just don't, you know, the specifics that God weaves into his word, we can easily become like dismissive of it.
Absolutely.
You know, and in the name of devotion, mm-hmm. in the name of like a spiritual frame of reference. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you use that word, like a frame of reference requires some structure to it. And like the word gives, you know, what was first there? The bones were there when Ezekiel speak there. The word came to the bones, but the word had to have the bones in order to put the flesh and the sinews and the muscles. And then you got a mighty vast army. It's like you got to have some bones there. And so I think that what you're saying, like you got to go back to yesterday, presence, and you got to have today devotion.
That's it.
And then you got to have the word and give yourself to it. Mm-hmm. It's like it's choice. What was I thinking? I was thinking something. Anyway, nope, I lost it. Go ahead.
It's okay.
Sorry.
but what happens is this. And then when you look back down the corridor of your life, you see wisdom. Mm-hmm. You see the wisdom of God as he's in the relationship with God. You see the wisdom of God leading you. And that's what it means to delight in the wisdom of God. It's not that you manufacture the wisdom of God, but you recognize in faith how God has just led you, how God has just guided you, how God has brought you, right? Psalm 124, if it hadn't been for the Lord, it's like, okay, God's just like been guiding me. He's been faithful to guide me. Many of the Psalms, you hear this historical refrain where the psalmists are saying, God has been guiding me. I'm thankful that God has guided the nation of Israel. And God himself also speaks and says, Israel, I brought you out. Israel, I brought you out. He's rehearsing the wisdom of God. And how many Jews have looked back on the ceremonial laws of Judaism and seen the wisdom of God? We're not sick because we wash our hands. All these little things where God was just consistently wise.
Yeah.
And look at where you are, wherever you're at right now, look at where you are in life. A lot of it's because of the wisdom of God.
That's true.
You get zero credit, zero. I mean, God gets the glory and you get no credit. That's just how it works, right? God says, because you're not walking in your own wisdom, you're walking in the wisdom of God and you delight in it. You delight in it. And so, and wisdom requires time, by the way. Wisdom requires a passage of time. So you're not going to say it's wise in a moment, but you can look back in faith and say, God did it. God's doing it. I don't know how. I don't understand all of it, but I can see the wisdom of God in that. And because you know the source, the word, and you trust the application in the spirit, by faith, you can believe that God's going to be wise in your life today.
Yeah. Now, going to Solomon, thinking about, you know, the man who wrote what we have, a lot of wisdom literature. We know, and most of us look at Proverbs 7, we think about the naive guy who gets hijacked by the adulteress. But early in that chapter, it says, make wisdom your sister. Mm-hmm. And I think that's like, you know, wisdom, you know, word, meditation, obedience to it. And it becomes organic to you, like wisdom is your sister. And you might be estranged from your sister. You might be alienated from your sister, but you are never, you know, you are never unrelated in a organic way to your sister. She is your sister. The mm-hmm. DNA says so. Yep. So I'm just thinking wisdom can become that way. And I'm thinking in Song of Solomon, he says he always introduces, he always speaks the glorious, like, descriptions of her, my sister, my spouse. Mm-hmm. It's like my sister, my spouse. So it's like you recognize that wisdom is an organic thing that the Spirit does in you, and then you marry it. Mm. You marry it. You go from, you know, there's devotion and duty, and there's a certification that happens in a wedding ceremony, but there's this, this becomes like an embracing. Mm-hmm. I think it's, Proverbs 8 talks about wisdom, and wisdom says, that wisdom was there mm-hmm. before the foundations of the earth were laid. So why wouldn't you embrace wisdom? Why mm-hmm. wouldn't you see it and see all of the benefits that you can get from it?
Mm. I like how you have a forward connection beyond communion. Mm-hmm. Beyond communion, it begins to be a personal identification. Mm. Like you said, there's this marriage. Like Paul said, it's my grace now. It's not just the grace. It's my grace. Mm. There's a personification where I take it on as part of my identity. Now, we do this all the time naturally with bad things. Things people say about us, things people do to us. We own that and connect that to our identity. And God says, I'm rewriting your identity in Christ through communion. Mm. And the wisdom of that, part of that is the wisdom of God that I would take that on and that I would connect and identify in a faithful way, in a personal way, with what God has said about me, about himself, and about my world. Like, okay, God, that's your wisdom. I'm going to engage that. I'm going to connect with that. I'm going to become one with that. Mm-hmm. And then God sows that into our life. And then the fruit of that, we said in Psalm 1, is the blessing of God. Because mm-hmm. this is what it means to walk in wisdom. We always take the walk in wisdom as a specific activity. But really, I would say it's a lifestyle of, as you said, marrying the wisdom of God and expressing the wisdom of God the practical way consistently. Mm-hmm. Like in that way, okay, so I'm not wise. The believer's not wise, but the believer can make wise decisions. The believer can have a wise perspective. The believer can find wisdom and discover it. A believer can marry wisdom. But God is the source of wisdom. So if I'm communing with God, I can have access to his wisdom in a very, very practical way, in a very, very practical way. There's a lot of benefits to delighting in the word and delighting in wisdom. There's a lot of benefits. And it all begins with me being intentional, me being practical, but me also being consistent to pursue the word of God in a very simple way. Like, okay, maybe I read my Bible. Maybe okay, God, I want to hear your message preached to me. I want to hear it through my ear gate. I want to read it with my eye gate. I want to speak it with my mouth gate. I want to engage with my senses, empiristically. I want to get into the word as much as I can get into the word. Because as I get into the word, Hebrews 4:12, the word gets into me.
Yeah, it's true. Let's see. Final thoughts here. I was thinking about, like, when we think about delight, I mean, you just can't ignore that part of that word is light. Mm-hmm. And like the face of God, I'm trying to think of the psalm that says, you know, my soul seek the face, your face I seek. And then the face of the Lord, set your face upon on something like that. We know that God, you know, God enables us to mm-hmm. seek his face.
Yes.
And that, you know, that is a recognition of his presence. Mm-hmm. And the word is telling us that he wants to see, he sought Adam and Eve after the very first transgression, and he seeks us, and he seeks us with his face. Mm-hmm. He seeks us, he wants to bring us before his face. So, you know, delighting in the word is really a way of living in the wisdom of seeking the face of God. That's my final thought. What's yours?
Well said. I like what you said. I like where you landed at, because I want to believe in my faith walk with God that that's where God's bringing me. Mm-hmm. Because it's not where I want to go. It's where God is leading me. And I want to be where God is, and I want to be where God is going. And if I walk in this relationship with him by faith progressively, in a revelationary way, in a personal way, we get there. We get there. We learn to delight.
So the word is quick and powerful. It's sharp. The grass withers, the flower fades. The word of God abides forever. Every word of God is true. We could just repeat these things again and again, and just think about it. But listen, take heed to the word, and arrive at wisdom. That's an amazing thing to think about. So we've talked about it today. We've had two great days together, Pastor Rinaldo.
Yes, sir.
So wonderful to have you back.
Thank you.
But I know what you you've sown there in terms of ministry, and I know that everyone really enjoys your portions there. So we're just also rejoicing in everything that you scattered about the continent there. We're thankful for it. So friends, this has been the Grace Hour Show. You can subscribe to this show if you choose to. We are on Spotify. We are on YouTube and other places. And we also have gracehour.org as a podcast website for you to enjoy programs again. So I just want to say thank you. I'm Steve Androlonis for Pastor Rinaldo Brown and for Jehu Vandiver, who's been our engineer today. We want to wish you a great Tuesday. Blessings upon you. Blessings upon you all the rest of the week. Treasure God and delight in him and his word, and have wisdom.
Right now.
That's it.